Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Healing Spirit and Beyond. I am your co-hostess, Roxy Zwicker, and I'm so glad that you joined us for tonight's special show on animal spirits and totems, connections, questions, and more. I would suggest that if you are listening and looking to find out how to connect more, we're going to be sharing a lot of information in tonight's hour show. So if you have a notebook or a journal or a piece of paper that you want to have handy as we go through some of the ideas and techniques that we'll be sharing with you, that way you can make notes. Of course, you can always listen to the show again in archive, but we will be covering our own personal stories as well as a lot of information. So I just thought that it might be something you would want to have handy for tonight's show. And for myself, tonight's show comes at a very interesting time in my life because I am currently working through an issue, which I'll go through in tonight's show, with my own little furry friend. So this is a show I probably couldn't have done a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, in talking about it, we promote our own self-healing and the healing of others. So I am a firm believer in that, so that's one of the reasons why I'm tackling this topic during a very difficult time. And joining me this evening, as always, my lovely and insightful co-host, Carrie. Good evening, Miss Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm definitely getting that fall feeling. Everybody keeps posting all these nice little fall recipes and fall pictures as I'm sitting here, and we still have 3 ACs running through our house. So just waiting for that nice cool air to start moving in and actually feel like fall would be perfect. But other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Well, you know, great minds think alike, because I did put out some of the Yankee Candle Halloween goodies that I just bought over the weekend. So I have my little glowing haunted house on my mantle up here, burning the Yankee Candles Witch's Brew. I really couldn't wait for October. I figure September's close enough to start breaking out the Halloween decorations, because by the time Halloween comes, hopefully I'll have all of my decorations out. Honestly, I could put something out every single day and still not be able to get it all out. I think I have a problem, and I can admit that. So Carrie is going to be in our chat room. Are you logged in and all hooked up this week?
Yep, everything went good. No issues so far, so I think we're good.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. I know. I noticed Blog Talk had changed their interface when I logged in today. So hopefully things will be working better. I know every once and again they get a little wonky, which can be frustrating for us trying to do all of this electronically. But if you have any
a little bit of a feedback when I first logged on. I was connected, and all of a sudden it disconnected me, and we're like live already. I'm like, oh my gosh! But definitely changed things around on us. So it's gonna be a learning curve just for us, as it is for everybody else logging on tonight. So let's go with it.
Well, I hope with all the changes that those are actually improvements, and that things won't be as wonky as they've been. But as I was saying, if you have any questions, comments, or stories, you can go ahead and log into the chat room and Carrie can address those or bring those up on tonight's show, because, you know, most everybody I know has pets of one kind or another, whether it's a dog, cat, bird, chicken, rabbit. Everybody has, little critters in their lives, and a lot of us grow very, very attached to them, and For many of us, they are like members in the family, especially when we get so used to them being there. So tonight's topic is rather broad-reaching. And I really have to say especially in the past month or so in doing tours, one of the big questions that people ask me oftentimes is about the spirits of their animals. And when I'm doing readings, they sometimes come up as well. And, we have a pretty close attachment to those little critters that we bring into our lives. And I know for me, as I said earlier, I'm still working through the attachment that I had to my little critter who just passed a few weeks ago. But I'll get into that story and the magic and the lesson and the questions and the connection a little bit more throughout tonight's show. But I wanted to toss it over to Carrie to see if there was anything that you wanted to cover in our opening before we dive into tonight's show.
I think we're good. It's definitely, like you said, it's definitely a topic that a lot of people talk about. And, people ask us if there's a such thing that, the animal can come back in spirit, and of course they can, because all living things have energy, and they have a spirit as well, just as we do. They're just living in a shell the same way. Definitely yes, of course. Any pet, it doesn't matter. If you have a pet cricket, it's still there in spirit form after it passes. And it was just funny because it's just such a really strong topic, around both Roxy and I right now. There's a lot of people that seem to be losing their little furry ones lately. My in-laws, within a month, they lost two of their cats, and, that really hit really hard, when it's bad enough with one, but when two go, you're kind of at a loss. And then a friend, had her cat, and the cat is now missing and haven't been able to find it for a couple of weeks now, and then Roxy's situation. So it just all kind of comes in at once. So, like we said, we're definitely tell you about how to connect with them and figure out who your spirit guides are, your animal guides are as well. Just definitely don't ever think that they're not there for you and that they're not able to come back, because they are the same form as we are as far as living in a shell. With that being said, I think we're ready to kick it off.
So I wanted to start tonight's show with my little story, just so you can understand where I'm coming from and one of the reasons why it's so important for me to talk about this tonight. And again, you're part of my own healing journey is, talking things out. And I think that's so very important. And I know it's very difficult and it has to come when you're ready. And as we go through tonight, we always tell people to pick up on the things that we talk about that connect with you, maybe not everything that we talk about will connect with you, but maybe some certain things will really resonate with you. And, you know, that's maybe something that you can think about working with or meditating on or bringing into your life. And what we talk about is not necessarily the right or wrong way. It's what works for us. So it was about 3 weeks ago that I lost my little furry friend, Hocus Pocus, who was a beautiful, beautiful rabbit. He was white and silver, and we've had him for about 4 years. And all of my life, I've always had rabbits around me, although I didn't really realize it all the time. When I go back and I look at photographs of myself as a child, I notice that I often, in most of my pictures, had a little furry rabbit in my hand or in my room. Somewhere around me, I always had a rabbit. And in the fourth grade, there was a little clutch of little jackrabbits out in the playground where I had lived. And a couple of days had gone by, and the mother never came back. And this little clutch of rabbits, their hole was right behind the swing set. There was a little hill that went up the swing set, and it was kind of right down in the bottom of the hill right there. So there were a ton of kids that always went to this playground. And I was very concerned. And next thing you know, I noticed that some of my neighbors were taking the bunnies home. And, you know, I was a little bit shocked at that. But then again, the mother hadn't come back. So my mother and I made the decision to take three of these little newborn baby bunnies who barely had their eyes open home. And we hand-fed them mashed up carrots, and we used a little syringe for water. And I actually have a series of photographs that we took from the first day we took the bunnies to the last day that we had them. So I think we had them for about a month or so. And, you know, at that point, they had their eyes open. They were eating on their own. So I had brought them to school to show everybody. And it was probably about a week or so after that we let them go in this very beautiful park called Look Park. And it's located in Florence, Massachusetts. That's where I grew up, was out in Western Mass. And the park is huge. You know, it's probably 50, 60 acres, and it's very wooded and very safe. So we let the bunnies, oddly enough, off into a hill, and off they went. And off and on, after that, we actually did own rabbits. We had a lot of Dutch bunnies, and loved taking care of them, loved handling them. And, you know, rabbits seemed to come up for me a lot, never really understanding exactly why. And then it was a few years ago, I was actually teaching a class over in New Hampshire, and it was part of the class we were, you know, talking about different aspects of animal totems, and we were talking about the goddess Diana. And that night when we drove home in our very busy neighborhood, we live in a neighborhood where, you know, all the houses are pretty much, you can see them from your window within a stone's throw. We're, you know, in a pretty tight neighborhood. And running down the street as we turned the corner was this this beautiful white rabbit. And totally looked out of sorts. It was March, so it was a little bit chilly out, and there are all sorts of animals in our neighborhood. We've heard fisher cats, there's dogs, there's cats, there's foxes. We even had deer in our backyard at one time. And I was very concerned for this little bunny that was out on the street, let alone the cars that were going by. So my husband got out of the car and went, and the rabbit just sat there. And approached the rabbit, and he just kind of sat there looking at my husband. So my husband scooped him up and put him on the front seat floor of our car, and we drove him up to the house. And we checked with everybody to try and find out where this little bunny belonged. He obviously was not a wild rabbit. He was house-trained. He was very intelligent. He was very gentle. You could tell that he could be handled. So it seemed kind of odd that this little bunny was running around the neighborhood, and it seemed odd that nobody was claiming him. So we ended up with him, and I decided to name him Hocus Pocus. I would call him my magic rabbit, and he had a beautiful silver crescent moon on his cheek, very, very, very beautiful rabbit. And we believe that he was a Holland Lop. He had one ear that flopped over and the other one that stood up, so he had a lot of personality. And there was a lot that he taught us, and I think that is where one of our connections with animals comes from, is by observing their behavior, their unconditional love, everything that they could show us, we really do learn a lot. And one of the first things that I learned from him was how to be joyful. He was always happy. He was never in a bad mood. He was just this joyful little bunny that just loved to jump throughout the house and sit with you and play with you. He was never, ever unhappy. And that was something that really struck me, you know, how, you know, you can have any kind of day, you know, a good day or a bad day, and you come home to this little furry bundle, and he is just happy no matter what. And it was impossible, and my husband feels the same exact way, it was impossible to be unhappy around him. It was impossible to be sad around him because he was just so happy. And to me, that really meant the world. I mean, certainly you can, you know, seek friends or family to uplift you. There's a lot of different things that you can do. But to have this little living being just radiating happiness and joy was really, really remarkable and really, really helped me a lot in the way I look at things, or even the way I looked at the day I was having. So so a few years went by, and we soon found out that he had a chronic illness. He had an abscess, and it's kind of common in rabbits, and he had developed this little lump on his face. So I had taken him to the vet. And I totally trusted my vet, but my vet told me that since it was chronic, that the best thing to do would be to put him down. Now, I was certainly not anxious to put him down for any reason, and I didn't know much about this particular ailment, and I tried to educate myself as much as I could, and I did find that it was chronic and that in most cases, you know, the little bunnies don't make it. However, I was not ready to put the little guy down. So I made a lot of calls, I went to a few different vets, and I finally found a holistic vet who was willing to do an operation on him, no guarantees, of course, that might help him out. And we did some naturopath techniques with him, phosphorus and whatnot, to help him out. So while, you know, a few vets had told me it's probably best to put him down, that was, you know, not the be-all, end-all for me. I knew that there was some way, it was just an intuition that I knew, to see what else I could do for him. So he had his little operation. It was a tough couple of days, but he came out of it just fine. And he was good for the next almost 3 years, the next 2.5 years. Wasn't really a huge problem for him. He wasn't in any pain, and he seemed to do pretty well. So I was pretty happy about that, although we knew that, you know, it still was in him. So it was it was a few weeks ago, and he seemed pretty ill all of a sudden one day. He was just laying there and grew kind of cold, wasn't eating, was very lethargic and not really sure what to do. He really seemed like he was about to pass literally any minute. And not really knowing what to do. You know, we try to make the best of it and, you know, watched what happened overnight. And the next day, it seemed like he was totally fine. He came flying out of the cage. He just wanted to sit with us, although he wasn't eating. Something definitely seemed amiss. And while he was in the cage, he was looking up and around in a way that was not typical for him. He was looking outside the cage at someone or something as if somebody was standing there. Like he was following them around the cage. And my husband and I were absolutely mystified. We're like, what is going on there? And then again, on the other hand, we're like, is he going to be okay? But somewhere, again, in that place of intuition, we knew something was wrong. And while he seemed like this all of a sudden happy-go-lucky bunny, he didn't make it through the night. And it was just really funny how he had this last burst of energy. He came around and came over to us. And it's like he knew. And, you know, I know for a lot of people they're going to be like, what are you talking about? But to watch him and to know his behavior, it's like he knew. It's like he came out, you know, for that one last burst to say, hey, you know, I'm going to be okay. And, you know, in his own little way, you know, we made our little peace, and something or someone we believe guided him in some way, you know, again, whoever was standing there. So he passed, and it was incredibly difficult, incredibly difficult. And, you know, my husband was stuck with the task of what to do at that point, and it was very difficult for him, too. And we decided to just take a beautiful piece of material and wrap him and put him in the fairy garden. My husband was like, you know, we couldn't put him in a box. It just didn't seem right for him. So we put him out in the fairy garden. We actually put some food out there. And Carrie, it was kind of ironic that for my birthday, you were giving me all these beautiful garden decorations just a couple of days before he passed. And I ended up pretty much putting them all in his little gravesite, which seemed really kind of ironic to me. And also it was about a week before that, I had gone to these workshops on death and dying, and you know, how to create sacred altars and how to work with the spirits, and it was overwhelming how everything had happened all at the same time. So it was you know, it was difficult, and it still is difficult because I'm so used to him being there, and he was like a little companion, you know. So used to just sitting there talking to him all the time. He didn't really have to say much, you know. Just the fact that he was listening was really, really important to me. So there was so much that, you know, the rabbit meant to me. And when you look at the rabbit as a totem and what they bring to you and what their message is really amazing. Rabbits have always been considered to be magical creatures, you know, pulling the rabbit out of the hat, carrying a rabbit's foot, you know, that it was a charm. And, you know, rabbits strengthen your intuition. They tell you not to worry so much, don't worry about your future. You know, always be very quick, you know, and pay attention to your surroundings. He's, you know, again, a lot about intuition, you know, looking for those hidden messages. And he's a bit about transformation, too. So it was quite the experience to have this little guy in the house. And now I'm going through the process of adopting another rabbit. And it took me some time to get there. It was not something that I wanted to do overnight. And, you know, I've already made the decision that, you know, adopting a rabbit is not going to replace Hocus Pocus. It's just a new little friend because there is no replacing him. You know, it's just an opportunity to adopt another bunny who's in a tough situation, who's in a bunny rescue, and by honoring him in that sense, I'm bringing another rabbit into my life. So that's kind of where I came to this point. One of the main reasons why I wanted to do this show. And in a few minutes, I'm going to go through some information as to how we communicate with animals in the spirit world, how they communicate with us, some of the things that you can do, and then talk some more about animal totems and whatnot. But I'm going to pass it over to you, Carrie, to see if you have an animal story that you would like to share, and then we can get into the details on what our listeners can do to connect and build an awareness of their animal companions.
I think we've all gone through that process of losing a pet. you know, we as well had a bunny that passed that we rescued. And gosh, it has to be, I think, about almost five years now that he passed. You know, and we still talk about him now. And, you know, I really hate when people look at you and you're like, oh, my cat died, or, you know, my bunny died, or, you know, whatever it may be. And they're like, it's just an animal. It's just a cat. It's just a bunny. No, it's not just, you know, it's family. And, you know, they're part of our home. They're part of who we are. They make who we are. And I just feel sad that, you know, maybe they've never got to experience the true love and affection that an animal can actually bring you. I mean, we certainly got a house full. You know, we have two cats, a dog, and a hedgehog. You know, we still talk about different pets. You know, my husband wants to bring a miniature pig into the house. So, you know, we're always talking about bringing more animals into the house. But a way that, you know, a lot of people try to figure out what their spirit animal is you know, you really don't just go and be like, okay, well, you know what, I really like dogs, so that's going to be my spirit animal. Unfortunately, we don't get to pick and choose, really, what our spirit animal is. It's chosen for us, and it's chosen for us before we're even brought into the world. And one of the ways, you know, some of the ways that you can really get down and try to get, you know, that connection going, you know, spend time outside. And we talk about this a lot. You know, get outside and shut off the phone, shut off, you know, if you have radios or whatever it may be. And, you know, just bring yourself and go outside. Don't set out to, you know, look for certain animals and be like, oh, my gosh, I just saw a squirrel. That must be it. Go out and just, you know, enjoy, you know, nature, and let it wrap itself around you and see what you come out with. And if you don't live near, you know, I know, you know, people in the city, obviously, they can't walk out their back door such as we can and be out in the woods. You know, there's state parks, there's city parks, you know, whatever it may be, go and, you know, figure out where your spot is. When you're spending time, like I said, when you're spending time out there, just really get that visualize of what you're sitting out there for and what you want to do, and kind of get into like a meditation stage, and shut off all distracting things around you. And then, you know, when you get to that stage of letting, you know, that come to you and being connected, and, you know, I know life is so hectic, and it seems like we let it kind of take over. Everybody's so busy, but really, I mean, we can always make time for ourselves. We can always make time to do things, and, you know, and I understand that there's people that truly just, you know, are so booked up with things, but shut off the fan, shut off the AC, shut off the phones, the radio, you know, whatever you have going in your house, open the shade, open the windows, and just sit and listen. Listen to all of the nature sounds coming in. You know, like, I can't wait until, you know, we can open up all the doors and windows in our home and not have it, you know, the heat be killing everything inside. Because it's just, you know, we have the wind, we have crickets all around the house. We have two owls that are in our front yard every night that I'm absolutely in love with. You know, we have a family of deer that come through our backyard every night. So, I mean, open up and just listen. Just listen and let Mother Nature, you know, bring to you what she needs to bring to you. And really start connecting with things that, with Mother Nature, that's going to help you really figure out who your spirit animal is. For the longest time, I really didn't know what mine was up until 4 years ago. When my grandmother passed, it was almost like the sudden obsession with owls came over me, and I couldn't really figure out why all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm like, all things owl. I started seeing owls, you know, driving home from being with Roxy at night. In 1 month, we had 5 owls swoop down in front of my car. Just the other night, actually driving home after being with my sister, just down the road from my house, owls swooped down. So they're always brought to us when, you know, when we truly need them, depending on what the situation is that's going on in their lives, they will be brought to us. And whether we're, you know, it's the same thing as getting a sign, but you're getting a sign from your spirit animal. So if it's like a certain time in your life that, you know, you have things going on, they're going to be brought to you. And it always seems that spirit animals are always connected with, you know, your personality and the your upbringing and your outlook on different things, you know. Sometimes it could be an animal that you absolutely fear. Could be your spirit animal. And I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but it all twines in together. So, I mean, obviously my grandmother brought, you know, that owl out for me. And ever since then, it's always been a big thing for me when I see owls. I constantly am seeing different things with owls. And, I mean, my obsession with owls is probably beyond. But it's just one of those things that I feel so connected with owls that it's almost like a security blanket when I see them now. And I think that happens as well for people when you have an animal pass. They can become your spirit guide as far as, you know, the animal part of it. And it really is, you know, like I said, they're just in a shell. So once they pass, just the same way as when a human passed, you have to invite them back into your life. You have to tell them, you know, that animal still loves you no matter what. Their path is already picked out just as our paths are already picked out. So when your pet passes, and, you know, whether, you know, like Roxy, I know that her and Hocus Pocus would always cuddle, which was the cutest thing. So they would cuddle. You know, invite them back in and, you know, let him know or her know, you know, whatever your pet may be, that it's still okay to do the things. You know, if you're going out for a run and your dog used to run with you, tell your dog, you know, before you leave your home, be like, okay, we're going to go out for a run now. You know, invite them. Make sure that they know that it's still okay that they're with you. You know, and if it's those cuddles at night before you go to bed, still invite that in. It is really inviting them in and letting them have that permission, just as if, you know, your grandma passed and you have to invite her in to, you know, be part of that process in your life and that path that you're going on. So really focus on that and really become, you know, more involved with nature and keeping your eyes open and do your homework on, you know, the different animals and their meanings and see what one triggers to you. And then, you know, don't assign yourself to one because, you know, unfortunately it doesn't work that way. But really just let it kind of take over and see what comes about. And, you know, if you start all of a sudden seeing, you know, eagles everywhere you go, you know, if you're seeing them flying around, if you're seeing them out by your home, you know, it could be a stuffed animal, it could be on a picture or, you know, whatever it may be, it's still a sign. So it's things like that that it's so similar to what we talk about anyways with the passing of a human. It's the same as, like, learning your pet's passing and learning who your spirit animal is. It all just comes back to the center and the core of the same exact thing. It's just the different, you know, it's the different way of looking at it. But I know so many people ask, they're like, you know, my cat passed, but, you know, I still feel them. And I just was just talking to a friend over the weekend about it, that, you know, she can't find her cat, but there's another cat in the home. And that cat's kind of taken on the personality of the cat that's gone missing. And it's almost like that cat is now comforting her. The thing, you know, she went to bed not feeling well and she had a headache. The cat went and curled up on her neck and put his paw over her head. And he laid there with her like that. You know, he's just performing things that her cat did. And, you know, it's almost like he is now taking that role and comforting her with that energy and with that spirit. So, you know, watch for things like that also if you have other pets in your home. Watch for things, you know, taking place. You know, your animals definitely change when one animal, you know, passes out of the home. But those are things to keep an eye on. And, you know, she's very thankful that this other cat is, you know, taking on that role and showing her the love that her cat did. And I think that's really special, and I think that's really amazing thing to do. And I'm sure, you know, like Roxy was saying, you know, this bunny that she's looking for, it's definitely not a replacement because you can't replace any animal, but it's definitely was meant for her and it's definitely a sign for her. I mean, she's just absolutely adorable. And, you know, when you find a pet and it was, you know, it happened so quickly that you didn't have to go through hoops for, and to find out that the pet's name is Roxy, you know, it's things like that that you really got to look for and you're like, oh my gosh. You know, so Hocus Pocus, you know, I strongly believe led her up to this new bunny. And, you know, the animals pick us. We don't pick them. You know, it's always meant to be that they chose us for a reason and that, you know, everybody should be really thankful for that. I'm blown away that, you know, the animals are just so smart and people don't actually realize that. And hopefully, you know, after hearing more from our show, if you're tuning in, that, you know, it's just not an animal. So definitely keep that in mind.
And definitely. And, yeah, I thought it was some kind of cosmic sign there that the bunny that I was looking at the animal rescue had the same name as me. I thought that was some sort of somebody talking to me saying, hey, pay attention here. You know, maybe you're ready now. So yeah, and the process has taken a bit of time, and I think that's okay. I think that it's good it's taken time, and it's good I have to jump through these hoops because it's all getting me ready to do this and, you know, clear space and do what I have to do to be prepared. So it's all in divine time. So here are some suggestions for you, and I really am just kind of picking up where Carrie had left off. But if you have a pen and a paper handy, what I'd like you to do is just kind of think about the answers to these questions and write them down and see what comes to you. And perhaps we'll be able to make a map to that special animal that has been coming into your life, and maybe you just haven't been aware of it, or maybe this will set you out on that path. So, first question to think about is, which animal or bird has always fascinated you? I find that we are sometimes drawn to that which most, you know, resonates or connects with us. Sometimes those animals that fascinate us the most have something to teach us. So again, think about which animal or bird has always fascinated you. Okay, so next thought. So if you visit the zoo or an animal rescue or shelter, which animal do you wish to visit the most, or which one are you drawn to first? And think about when you were a child. You know, children are typically more open and, you know, their energy is pretty easy to connect with the animal that will be the most important to them. So think about, you know, when you were a child, where you loved to see the animals, or perhaps it was a farm. We have so many farms here in New England that are open for exploration. So think about who you wanted to see first. Now, this is one that Carrie touched on, one I certainly talk about a lot as well. What animal or animals do you see the most when you're out in nature, when you're taking your nature walks? You know, what encounters have you had with animals out in the wild? And, you know, again, this is one of the things where the animals that we encounter often have a significance for us, if not just, you know, as a totem, but for perhaps something that's going on with us right now. You know, what's happening in your life that's drawing that animal to you. And, you know, what can we learn from them, even if it's just about survival within that environment? One of the things I often tell people when I'm doing readings and we're talking about animals is, when you see that animal, what is that animal doing? Are they building a shelter? Are they being watchful? Are they eating? So, you know, we translate the eating. So what are you doing to sustain yourself? We translate them to nesting or in their shelter. You know, what are you doing to make yourself comfortable? Are you comfortable at home? Is there more that you could be doing? If they're watchful or observing or hunting, so what do you need to be careful of? What do you need to watch? So, you know, observe them in their environment and see if that connects with you, you know, with what's going on with you right now. And here's another one to think about, too. So out of all the animals that are in the world, which ones are you most interested in right now? And for some people, our interest in certain animals changes and grows. For a lot of us, there is one or two animals that's predominantly our connection in our lifetime. Sometimes we'll call those power animals. But which ones seem to be the ones that might teach you something? And then, of course, there is always dream animals. And that was something that I noticed pretty early on with Hocus Pocus is, you know, within the year after we had him, I was dreaming about him all the time. And when I dreamt about him, he was always talking and giving me advice. And that just really blew me away because I had never had that happen before. And he seemed to be guiding me in my dreams. And it was very detailed, very potent. And I knew right away that he wasn't just a pet, but he was, you know, he was working as my totem and my guide, and that's where I really connected with him very strongly when I would wake up from the dreams. And it's amazing, I was able to remember them. So that was a great indicator of, you know, of connecting with that animal. And, you know, if they keep coming back for you, because he did keep coming back, you know, dream after dream. So just keep in mind, you know, what are they telling you or showing you in that dream? And again, relate that to what's going on in your life or what you might need. And, you know, every animal has a very powerful spirit, you know, like Carrie said, their energy too. And, you know, they're little beings, they have emotions. You know, certainly I know when I'm over Carrie's house and, you know, I see her beautiful dog, Tamara. She is just a very loving, excitable, emotional dog. I mean, I had to ask the other day, I'm like, how old is she again? Because she's so puppy-like. She is just so happy and, you know, just such a joy to be around. So, you know, what are they bringing into your life? So if you've started to notice, you know, as you're writing your answers down or thinking about your answers, you know, go back like I did in my photo album, and I realized, you know, all my life I've been around rabbit. There's always been this rabbit association with me. So if you're trying to hone into that and honor that and say, hey, you know, there's this particular animal that's been around for me, or I collect this particular type of animal statue or this particular type of animal art, or I find myself always drawing pictures of this particular animal or taking photographs of this particular animal, then that should start to get you to realize a little bit more about who your animal spirit might be. One of the things that my husband and I did a lot with Hocus Pocus is we would, you know, buy little figurines. We have some clay sculptures of rabbits that very much look and remind us of him. And, you know, that's a bit of a gift as well. Some folklore, they'll call those little figures or statues their fetishes, and they're a reminder of the power and spirit of your animal totem. And it was a couple of weeks before Hocus Pocus passed, we bought this beautiful statue at a fair of a bunny on his hind legs and these beautiful twinkling black eyes. And we have it right now on his little altar. My husband and I made an altar after he passed for him. And it was it's so funny how it just reminds me of his gentleness. And, you know, it still embodies that power of, you know, why he was here. And just a little something to, you know, just take a walk around your house and you see what you already have. So, you know, once you've made your connection, then, you know, you have something that you can build on, and you can look into the symbolism of it. You know, what does that mean certainly you can go to, you know, the Native American beliefs. There's so much written about Native American totems. Also, Celtic mythology has a lot about animals. That's where I found a lot about rabbit and learned even more. So that, you know, that's an opportunity for you to do that too. But yeah, just, you know, just see what's in your life right now and, you know, what you're noticing as patterns. And that will be some of your, you know, your best indicators. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the biggest things we talk about a lot on the show is having the awareness of, you know, what you're seeing. Could be an animal that you're seeing, you know, every day when you're going to work. And I think I mentioned on a previous show, I was doing a group reading, and there was this gentleman, and I pulled out the fox card for him. I was reading the Lenormand cards, and he said, "So yeah, so what is with this fox I'm seeing every single day when I'm going to work?" And I'm like, "Okay, so you're already thinking about it." And there was the card, you know, and the fox is, you know, it's all about being crafty and being sly and, you know, paying attention. And it was funny because, again, as soon as I turned over the card, he knew. He's like, "Okay, I've been noticing this every day. I just need to figure out, you know, what the message is." But, you know, in general, I think some of the things that, you know, I'd like to share is, you know, one of the most amazing things when we're talking about animals as pets is one of their biggest lessons is about unconditional love. You know, it's such an amazing, amazing lesson that I learned, from Hocus Pocus. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was feeling, so grief stricken about that. Because, you know, sometimes our family members don't show us the unconditional love that, you know, our pets show us. And, you know, that's something that we long for and that we wish for. And then, of course, when, you know, when a pet passes, that really does, you know, and this conversation came up with my husband and I, when the pet passes, that, you know, we come face-to-face with our own mortality. And, you know, it is a very intimate glimpse of illness, aging, and death. And, you know, it's sometimes depending on, you know, how your animal is passed, and I talk about this with people a lot, is some people feel remorse that they could have done more for their animal. Sometimes people feel that they, you know, they were busy working and they didn't notice an illness. Is there something that they could have done to stop them from suffering? And please, please, please don't let those thoughts haunt you. And I can't tell you how many people I have talked to in very emotionally charged conversations that they wish that they could have done more, you know, and it's don't feel the guilt over that. You know, we're not in control and we don't know everything there is to know about the cycle of life and death. And that's, you know, that could be because of just our own human nature. It could have something to do with our culture. We're very easy sometimes to do the blame game on ourselves. So please, if you've experienced a pet that's passed, don't blame yourself for it. You know, try and find some peace out of that. So I'm going to toss it over back to you, Carrie, see if you have any other thoughts before we go forward a little more.
It was funny that you mentioned that because I was just thinking that same thing about, you know, people blaming themselves when an animal passes. But, yeah, I mean, like I said before, you know, their path was already chosen before they were even put on Earth. So definitely don't beat yourself up and think that you could have changed anything because that was truly their calling and what they were supposed to go and do. We'll definitely put those questions out on our Facebook page. And, you know, you can look back and go through that and, you know, answer them if you didn't get a chance to answer them and look back at your questions. Like Roxy suggested, you know, writing them down. You know, we talked about that, keeping that journal with you. So that would, you know, definitely be a place to put this in. And I think when, you know, you're trying to connect with your your spirit animal. Don't be afraid to ask, you know, the spirits that are around you, you know, your loved ones, your spirit guides, to ask them for help to realize, you know, what your spirit animal is, because, you know, they will definitely help you in that department as well. So, you know, like I said, put it out there and, you know, see where it goes and see what starts coming up to you and, you know, watch for those signs. You know, that's the biggest part, is watching for those signs and making sure that you're getting what's being sent to you. It can be easily, you know, just brushed off. You know, we talk about getting signs all the time on the show, and I did a couple of readings this past weekend, and, you know, a couple of the signs that I was telling them to watch for, they weren't understanding. You know, they're like, okay, you know, they took it in, and I got two phone calls the very next day from both of my readings, and they both saw what their sign was supposed to be. One of them was right at home when she had her sign. It was actually sitting right on her nightstand. And another one was while she was driving and she was having a really hard time and was just having a breakdown, and she saw the sign that was in her reading. So those will come to you just as much as if you ask your guides, you know, can you please direct me in the direction that I need to be in to figure out, you know, my spirit animal and connect with my spirit animal, because I need help with that. And just watch for that, and, you know, do these simple exercises, and, you know, if you're able, meditate, and while you're meditating, keep that, you know, your mind clear and open and focus on purely what you're trying to get to. And if that's, you know, figuring out what your spirit animal is, just keep thinking, you know, that's what you're going for, and that's the light that you are directed in. And, you know, like, I can't stress enough of watching for those signs. And like I said, you know, after my grand passed, I got the owl. You know, Roxy will tell you I am, like, totally obsessed with owls now, and it really did come, like, right out of the blue one day. I was just sitting there. It was at night. It was during the fall, and I had my office window open, and I could just hear these owls back and forth, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. I just totally fell in love with the way that they sounded. And then it was about a week after that I came home, and I had a bird feeder right outside my front door. And sitting up on the pole when I came home was a gorgeous, gorgeous owl sitting up there. It was pouring rain out, and he was just sitting on top of that bird feeder. And I was just like, it was bad enough I actually – hit my mailbox. I don't tell many people that story, but that's, like, you know, a simple, you know, way to, like, explain of how exciting it is when you start, you know, receiving all these signs. It just, you get so overwhelmed and so excited, and I truly, truly am blessed, and I can't be thankful enough that, you know, not only am I connected with my spirit guides, I'm connected with, you know, family from the other side, I'm connected with my spirit animal, and You definitely can have more than one spirit animal. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, you're only allowed one. But for me, I know it's the owl. You know, nothing has come up of anything different. So, but yeah, keep your eyes open. That's the biggest thing I can say. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. And definitely go through that list that Rox mentioned. And I did write them down so we can post them and put them up on our Facebook page, and you can go back through and you can share it and see what your friends come up with, you know, and you can go through and do it again, see what you come up with. But yeah, you know, we can't stress enough of, you know, the animals are just as much as us as we are of them. You know, it kind of makes that whole circle, and very thankful that we're able to do that.
And one important point that I really want to drive home is whether you're working with your animal right now, whether they're a live pet or you're working with the spirit of an animal that has passed, one of the things that people often have a challenge with when they're doing this communication and receiving this message and making these connections is, please don't see yourself as a separate species from that animal. A lot of people think that we can't communicate with animals because they are animals and we are humans, don't try and overanalyze that and try and figure things out. Rather, what you want to focus on is receiving the feelings and the thoughts from that animal instead of, you know, well, that's an animal, I'm a human, we don't have that communication in common. Don't see yourself as separate. Turn off your filters, you know, turn off your agendas. Don't get into that pattern that you expect, that you know how this animal will or will not communicate. So once you get past that barrier, then that start, you know, you'll start getting those bits of communication and those messages. And once that starts, then you're really able to receive the messages and the sensation of really connecting with them, and that you're not projecting your thoughts on them. And oftentimes you'll see the animals will validate that with you, whether it's through a sign or whether it's through their behavior or whether it's through something that, you know, gives you that sign. You know, the connection that we have with animals oftentimes comes down to, you know, your feelings, you know, what you're feeling in your heart and your thoughts. So, you know, in your mind. So, you know, don't, you know, again, don't go into this with the preconceived notions. You want to go in open, you know, allow that range of emotions and sensations to move through you. Because once you do that, you know, you're going to get that communication that you need. You're going to get those messages. You're going to find that healing. And as you open to receive more communications, you'll notice, we like to call it, the channel gets wider, it gets wider and it gets clearer. So, you know, it's something that you're going to do in your own practice. Some animals work different ways, but one of the great things about it is, you know, the compassion that animals have for us as human beings really helps us to accept ourselves as we are. And when we do that, you know, we start to build that love and compassion for other people and love for ourselves, and that grows. And that's, you know, that's something that I really saw myself with Hocus Pocus, you know, and then we're less separate, and that distance isn't there anymore. And that communication and, you know, your understanding for life and why we're really here starts to grow. And it is, you know, in my opinion, it is very, very real. And, you know, even though my little bunny is gone, I still, you know, I have his picture. We built this little altar to him. I still talk to him. I've already decided that when I get the new bunny, I'm going to talk to her like he's still here. I want to tell her his story so that way she gets to know him. So, you know, put out all those preconceived notions that you have, you know, that's, it's so, so important. So, wow, time's like flying by here. So, was there anything that came up in chat that you wanted to address before we started to wrap things up tonight?
Oh, I don't think so. We're just, you know, like I said, you know, you're not, I don't feel that's only one, animal spirit that you're, you know, that you're connected with. You know, I was talking to one of the ladies that comes into chat, and she definitely has two, and, you know, it's a deer and a bear for her. And one of the stories that she was just telling me is amazing, that, you know, she was on a road trip to go back to where her family is, and a bear came out in the middle of the road. She's never seen one out, you know, in public like that. And so that right there is just amazing, that, you know, one of her animals is a bear and she gets to see one like that. She also, you know, handcrafts teddy bears. So it's pretty amazing that something like that happens. You know, you're so involved with a bear animal, and, you know, you finally get to see one cross your path like that. So definitely a sign, definitely a meaning, and she cherishes it. So it's really cool.
Well, and, you know, like I said, here's just a little kind of final thought from me. You know, animals of all kinds are just like us humans. They're individual, they're conscious, and they're spiritual beings who just come to us in their own physical form. They're intelligent, they have feelings and sensitivity that sometimes goes beyond our human awareness.
So they have so much to share with us, so many messages and so much to teach us. I hope that tonight's show has helped you on your path and maybe open up a few doors for you. So thank you so much for listening to us on Healing Spirit and Beyond. I'm Roxy, that's Carrie. You can find us on Facebook. If you want to get some more notes from tonight's show, they'll be up. And be sure to tune in to Healing Spirit and Beyond next week for a special surprise show. Can't tell you yet, but it'll be a surprise. So thank you so much, and we hope to talk to you soon. Take care, everyone, and thank you so much for listening.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.